call the meeting together at 6 o'clock. If you all please rise for the pledge allegiance and a moment of reflection afterwards, please. Place your hands over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll call it an acknowledgement from the guests. I'll start on my far left. Good evening, everybody. I'm Roger Rice, Student Services, and with us this evening is Richard Urias from our Director of Charter School Support and Oversight, who will be leading us in one of the items this evening, and also Corinne Manley, Director of Vista Real Charter School.
Good evening, Valerie Christman, Associate Superintendent, Educational Services.
Good evening, Rachel Ulrich, representing Area 1.
Ian Kunicki, Area 4.
Stan Mantooth, County Superintendent of Schools, and on my far right, my Executive Assistant, Ms. Nancy Ackerman. And just want to also note that Ms. Misty Key is not with us today. She has a special dispensation from the superintendent for a family commitment.
Good evening, Martin Segor, Area 3.
Good evening, Juan Flores, Trustee, Area 5.
Thank you. Mr. Bates' daughter had an accident down in L.A. today, and he's gone down to assist his daughter, so he won't be with us this evening. I need an approval of the agenda.
I have a move to approve.
Second.
First, we have a second. Any opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Public comments. I see no public speaker cards, so I assume we have none at this time. So at that point, we'll go into item C1, which will be our hearing item. We'll point out it does seem like we may have a little bit of a language barrier, so maybe we could all just slow our conversation down a little today so this family can follow with us. At this time, I'd like Mr. Mantooth to make some initial comments.
Yes. Appeal process allows the parents to, besides the information that's already been provided to the board, allows the parents to have an opportunity to state their case. The board members may have questions for the parents, and then we will allow the district also to make their presentation. The board may have questions for the school district as well. Tonight, because we are missing one of our 5 board members, it requires a 3-vote majority to uphold an appeal. If the vote is less than 3-1 or 4-0, the appeal will not go forward. It will be denied because of the lack of the final vote. The other thing that we must mention, and then I will, before I give a brief synopsis of the case tonight, actually more than brief tonight because it's a little more complex than normal, is that regardless of the board's decision to either uphold the appeal and allow the boys to both attend Ventura Unified School District or not, we cannot mandate and we cannot guarantee that the children will attend the same school, either in Oxnard or in Ventura. So that's something we want to make clear to the parents tonight.
Before Mr. Mantooth moves on, I want to be sure the parents understand that one item you said. Because we're lacking one board member, this is a 2-2 vote, that's the same as a no vote. We are under constraints here that we have to hold this meeting within a certain time frame to accommodate the parents' request. Or if the parents wish to have a full-seated board here, they have the right to ask for this hearing to be extended. We cannot do that on our own. So again, I'd like you to discuss that with the folks, make sure they thoroughly understand that. If they want to move forward tonight, we're prepared to do that. Just the odds change a little bit.
How exactly do the odds change?
Pardon?
How exactly do the odds change regarding the favor of their appeal?
You're losing one person who may vote in favor, which means they would only need 3 votes instead of 4. Today they're going to need 4 votes or 3 because with one person gone, if it's a 2-2, let's say we both vote no and they vote yes, it's the same as a no. They don't have the privilege of that third vote. We have no way of knowing how that person was going to vote. It could be in their favor, it could be against. We just don't know. So we just want the parents to understand that so they can make a proper decision.
I think we should postpone the meeting and until we have full board.
Mr. Mantooth, if that took place, what would be the next available meeting that we could get this notified properly so these folks could be out?
The next board meeting, the next regularly scheduled board meeting, will be Monday, October 26th. This means that your children would be attending the schools they're currently attending until that time to decide whether or not your appeal will be granted or denied. So it's approximately one more month.
Well, according to confidentiality principles, they're not allowed to say whether or not the child would be able to be accepted into their school. That they said it was up to the board, because we went to visit both schools today. And so, on the basis of that, if the numbers change between now and then, there would need to be another way to get the children in, and not because all of a sudden the school got more impacted. So we're not concerned about that. We're more concerned about your decision than what's going to change on the school site, because we just got the impression that there wasn't any room. But yet it sounded like you could make room depending on what happened with the school district and the board members. So there's some confusion there.
If this board were to decide in favor of the parents and grant the appeal, the school district would need to make room for the children. And in this case, the child, Michael.
But that being said, we have no way of dictating what school Ventura Unified would put him in. They can choose any school.
Correct.
And that's that. We understand that. The parents would prefer that both children were in the same school for multiple reasons that we would present.
You're actually getting into
I think you're getting
right
into
now.
The...
We understand what the parents would like, because we've seen what they've written, but we have no authority to make sure that child, if they do get an approval tonight for this appeal, are going to get their choice of school. That'll be up to that district of residence at that time to decide where to place that child within the district.
Okay, so they're looking at the Ventura Unified School District and not the Oxnard School District. So if there was a school that had a special education program and could accept also the other sibling into the same school, that would be acceptable.
That's not within the control of this body. That's strictly up to the school district.
Okay, so because it's being appealed as both brothers in the same decision, isn't that what we're looking at, is putting them both in the same school? So there would need to be a special education program?
According to the documentation, we're only hearing for Michael Kim tonight, not the other child, because the other child is already registered in school, and that's stated in our written documents.
Okay, he's been accepted to Ventura Unified already.
Okay, is there a special education program in that school that Michael was accepted into?
Mr. President,
if I may interrupt, ma'am, could you tell me what is your position with the family?
I'm a relative. I'm also a Kim, and I also work in special ed.
Okay.
I also have children.
Okay, well, we're getting into a lot of depth here that I'm getting uncomfortable with, because we haven't really opened a public hearing yet. We're going to need to get past this first decision first. Do you want to be heard tonight or not? If not, then all this conversation needs to be held to our next hearing, which, would, as we told you, would be October 26th. If you want to proceed tonight, then we can get into more depth on this.
Okay, if the children can't be in the same school, can there be a reappeal so that it's redone and re-put in as both children in the same school?
No, that cannot be appealed to this body.
What body could it be appealed to?
That would be up to the school district.
You'd have to go back through the process.
An individual decision of the Ventura Unified School District. It would not be connected to us.
Okay, so how would that be done? Because if Michael is accepted back into the Ventura Unified School District, the parent would have to provide transportation. So that means you have two kids going to one school that was accepted him at a different location, and then one with a special ed. So it would already cancel out the possibility of that even happening. So they really need both kids to go to the same school. So how do you pursue that?
We are the County Board of Education. We just oversee the appeal process. We cannot dictate to a school district which schools to put their children in. You would have to go either to Oxnard for getting them in the same Oxnard school, or go directly to Ventura and have Ventura put them in the same school district. We can't tell them to do that.
During that period of time, you may want to go back, talk with Ventura Unified. You may be able to work these issues out with them. If not, is there any issue on our end, Mr. Mantooth, if we go ahead and schedule them for the 26th as they work through this problem? And is there anything they need to do on their end to solidify that date?
All we would only need to arrange again for interpretive services.
Appreciate this. Sorry we had a board member absent tonight. It probably would have made a lot less of a problem for everybody, but again, we want to be sure the parents have full
advice. Actually, we might have saved you some time, just hearing up a little bit of what
Thank you very much.
And we also appreciate the patience of the Ventura Unified School District for being here tonight.
We'll be back.
Okay, at this time we're going to go ahead and move on. We have no closed session items at this time. We're going to move on to item E1, approval of the minutes from the regular meeting of August 24th.
I move to approve.
Moved by Ms. Oliver.
Second.
Second by Mr. Lissador. Were you at that meeting, Mark?
No, thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Then we had a better effort on second.
Second, Flex.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Abstain.
One abstention. Mr. Lissagor. Thank you. Under correspondence, we all received the email debate dated September 2nd, 2015, in regards to SELPA. If you hadn't had a chance to look at that website, oh my gosh, do we have a lot of writing there. It was overwhelming, to say the least, but actually quite eye-opening, some of it. I hope everybody had a chance to look at that. At this point, does any board member have any correspondence with the board? At this time, we'll go on to president and board member comments. Ms. Oliver.
Just some comments with regard to the CCB conference. And I attended a session with Santa Clara County Board of Education that was very interesting in the way that they are redesigning the way that they deal with charters on a regular ongoing basis. And they designed a nice website that has a link from their county office website that has every charter school listed, the statistics and all the information, all of them. That was really nice. And they're doing a lot more to standardize their expectations in terms of the data that's reported annually have the exact same data reported from every single charter school. So it's not different data, which I thought was a fantastic idea. So I will at some point be happy to pass on the information.
Thank you.
Same thing, attended the CCB fall conference, having served on the executive committee for 4 years, seeing that conference grow is a great thing. It was by far the best conference I've attended in terms of the number of participants, in terms of the types of workshops, the quality of the speakers. I thought were all top-notch. I did get a chance to attend a workshop in a kind of appropriate and timely on the types of appeals that planning board members do. If you hadn't seen your email, I was able to secure the electronic presentation, so I passed that out to all your board members. Use as you wish. But again, I thought it was interesting that some of the comments at that workshop are similar to what we had at this meeting, where some of the yanks that we struggle with, other county boards also struggle with. So if anything, we're on that same page. And lastly, I had a chance to attend a workshop put on by my own Dr. Morse, which I thought was fantastic also.
Same story about the CCBE conference. I thought it's been great watching that organization evolve and become very relevant and quite a good resource. Dr. Morse did a beautiful presentation on career pathways, but also on the process as much as the result. It's very creative. I also attended the CCB Board of Directors meeting, and they're just continuing to try and do that better. I had the opportunity to attend Mr. Mantis' world-famous leadership team retreat this year. That was headed up by Dr. Rice, and a great exercise with StrengthsFinder. I was very pleased to learn that you should identify your strengths and work on those instead of your weaknesses. It's quite a relief, because for me it's such a short, I'm not sure what it is. I also got to attend another graduation at Providence, which is always kind of special.
Mr. Mantu, did you want to share anything with the board?
In regards to that meeting,
you were quite active in that before I did my report.
Yes, I had the honor of facilitating a panel on Friday when the conference opened up on the LCAP and different perspectives on how that goes from county office perspective, as well as Dr. Morse's excellent presentation on innovation and how to get there.
It was great. May I add, I completely forgot that you were masterful at controlling the dialogue and keeping everyone on point. It was a great session.
And that's what I meant about the quality of the speakers being top notch. So kudos to Mr. Mentor.
It's Mentor County, right?
Actually, I think I got to attend most of the same conferences you did and got to see Stan's performance, and I think the most interesting comment that I heard from an audience member, and I'm not sure which district they were from, was, my God, he's so open and honest, which it made me wonder, what are they dealing with in their county office? That was a pretty scary comment. Stan did an excellent job. Ventura County was well represented, and as far as Tiffany, she was off the chart. Out of the conferences I've attended, it's probably the most questions I got from other school districts after her presentation, wanting to know how we done it. So a lot of kudos went her way. So great session. Superintendent report, item H.
Before we get there, just on the upcoming events, just another reminder that we have the California School Boards Association conference coming up in December. And want to make sure that if you are planning to attend, you haven't notified Mrs. Ackerman, please do so as soon as possible, because I want to make sure that
we have
reservations for you.
I think you have everybody. They're all.
Okay. And on also something that you don't have listed on the upcoming events is on December 8th, as part of preliminary to the annual organizational meeting, is the brief training that board members will be receiving in board docs our new online board agenda software. That's okay with you. I'll move into superintendent's report.
Well, right ahead.
Of course, there are handouts. A little unwieldy here. First is we're always pleased to notify the board of the solidity of our budget. We have a letter attached from the California Department of Education indicating that our budget has been approved by the state. You may have seen newspaper articles regarding the new test results. There's also a copy of the press release that was crafted here with the great assistance of Dave Shermer, our communications manager, as well as Dr. Valerie Christman and her staff, notably Heidi Christensen and Lisa Brown Salas Brown, in putting much of the data together in an understandable form, if that can happen. I'm reminded of that old Irish saying that if you're not sufficiently confused, then clearly you're not understanding. However, it's as we expected, and one thing that you wouldn't have seen in the report and even come out in the newspaper article is actually these test results for the first round of a new system are higher than when the old CST scores were first rolled out some 15 years ago. So we're very hopeful that we are on an upward curve. And also you have the latest edition of our programs and services brochure, which we revise periodically, try to do this on an annual basis, and we think it's a great compendium with brief explanations of all the myriad services that our office provides. I mentioned previously item number 4, the board docs training date, and also to share with the board something I shared with President Kanicki. We had a request from the community college district. It's been almost 2 years ago to the day that the two boards respectively entered into a memorandum of understanding, a partnership agreement. It's a blur. They were extending an invitation to again have another joint meeting with the two boards to have the respective staffs provide an update and allow the boards to engage in dialogue regarding the many areas in which we overlap and we collaborate, including, of course, the Career Pathways Grant that we partnered on in the beginning. The other thing that happened for the very first time ever was we held a meeting of the respective administrative staffs of the Community College District with the Chancellor, the three presidents, and a couple of other senior managers on their staff, along with our senior manager. And we actually never sat down at the table to talk about those kinds of things, and that's going to help us prep tremendously for the convening of the two boards. And Dr. Luskin had asked that after tonight that perhaps we could begin to look at some possible dates. And what your pleasure might be, knowing that we have an inter-district appeal now held over to October, we could look at that date and perhaps convene later in the evening, or perhaps push it to November. There isn't a great deal of urgency other than share information and to reaffirm the partnership.
With the board's approval, I'd like to authorize Mr. Manthe to just go ahead and get something scheduled and advise us of it.
Okay. Normally the way it works is Claire Geisen at the Community College District and Nancy Ackerman make this happen. And the hardest part will be just putting the calendars together.
We'll leave it in their hands. Our board's flexible, it sounds like, for dates. So
okay.
Whenever you can do it, we're up for it. Yeah.
Well, for your convenience, we'd like to try for a date that's already set on your calendars. And you may recall that 2 years ago we were here in this building. It may be that we'll travel to Ventura for to be in their home.
They'll have room. I read a report today that said community colleges are down about 200,000 in enrollment this year, which is real surprise number-wise.
Kind of good news, bad news. I mean, what I heard is done enrollment because the economy's getting better, less people are unemployed.
More people working.
May I ask a question with regards to this report?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm remiss. I wanted to ask Dr. Chrisman if she had comments to make about this. And that's largely a result of her good work.
Well, I think one of the probably most interesting things is that statewide, and we followed suit, the scores begin higher in mathematics, and as students progress through the grade levels, go lower. And it's just the opposite for English language arts. They are lower to begin with, and students progressively score higher as they go through the grades. So one of the theories is that we are just learning how to teach mathematics and using Common Core, and that that will be something that will certainly improve as teachers are more adept at the new strands in mathematics. So that was one interesting observation. And do you have any questions?
I think Ms. Olga does.
When did the scores get released to the parents?
They should have been released in July. The parent letters go first to the districts, and then they're sent by the districts to the parents. And we expected those in July. We expected results that we could actually analyze the end of July, beginning of August, and they are yet to be sent out. So there's some snafus in the system, certainly, and that's really the vendor.
And you could have asked either one of us that particular question, because we had our monthly superintendents meeting with the district superintendents last Friday, and the majority of them indicated they're hopefully going to be released to parents this week.
Because the data is somewhat confusing when you don't see
your own
what
child.
The parents right. are receiving.
I have mine from my daughter. So they've been
some
sent
do.
Out. And they're fairly graphic. They have a bar that shows kind of like a horizontal bar.
I figured. I just found it interesting.
Well, it isn't just
my own theories, but
I don't think anyone's holding anything back.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I think it's just all new and a little less organized.
So one of the things that happened was that some districts were more efficient in making sure that all students pushed complete at the end of the assessment. Some districts didn't, and so that had to be reanalyzed. Was it meant to be stopped there? Did the student intend to go back? So they didn't do any of the analysis until all the students in the district were done. And what was done was a big question. So,
I'm not worried about the test scores, because they don't necessarily reflect what the student knows, but whether they understood the new methodology of test taking. So, yeah,
that's part of it.
Ms. Matthew, one quick question on item 4, the board docs training Monday, December 7th. I thought I heard December 8th.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That's December 7th, the day that we'll live in infamy. Ms. Ackerman, am I incorrect as to the date?
That's our organizational
meeting. It's at the annual organizational meeting. It's the date of the meeting. I can't remember. Let's see. The 30th. Yes, that's the 7th. Monday is the 7th of December.
Thank you, Dr. Flores.
It's all on the superintendent's report, any legislative report from board members or superintendent. Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. I'll ask for a motion for items J1, 2, and 3.
Moved.
Moved by Dr. Lissador.
I'll second.
Second by Rachel. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries 4-0. Item K, we have no items. We'll move on to our first public hearing item, approval of Resolution 1505 regarding insufficiency of instruction material and certification of provisions of standards aligned instruction materials. This is an information and action item.
That is correct. This is a procedural item which is brought to the board annually and is required to be done within, Dr. Rice, I believe, the first 8 weeks of the school year to determine whether we do have sufficient and appropriate textbooks. Dr. Rice, did you want to add anything?
I would just certify to the board and the audience that we, in fact, do have sufficient instructional materials that are standards aligned.
And with that, we do ask that the board open a public hearing on Resolution 15-05, take testimony if there is any, close the public hearing, and then take action on the resolution.
The public hearing is open. I have no cards. We'll close the public hearing. Any other additional comments or discussion from the board? If not, I'll ask for an approval of the resolution.
I move to approve.
First by Ms. Allred.
I'll second.
Second by Dr. Flores. Roll call on this one, please.
Aye.
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 4-0. No, no. Item L2, annual programmatic audit presentation by Vista Rail Charter Schools. Information and discussion item. Come on down.
I'm pleased to invite Dr. Rice to make opening remarks before Mr. Reyes and Ms. Manley. Take over.
Thank you, Mr. Mantu. Before we welcome Corinne and Richard to lead us into the presentation, I just wanted to respond quickly by way of introduction to the comments Ms. Ulrich made about the materials she got from Santa Clara. We would by all means love to have that, and we're always open to new ideas. I would share with you that I'm extremely pleased with the work that Dave Shermer and Richard have collaborated on to begin to put that together on our brand new website. We have a charter school webpage that you can navigate to fairly easily that includes links to all of our charter schools, as well as links to all the charter schools in Ventura County, whether or not we authorize those charter schools. And I also wanted to comment on the idea of making consistent the data sets that are reported to the school board. If you recall, when we first started this process of requiring the programmatic audits, there was a great deal of variability in the presentations. If you were to read all of the MOUs for each of our VCBE authorized charters, they are in fact now all exactly the same and require exactly the same elements. That said, what the code talks to is the need to be responsive to those elements that are a part of their LCAP and their local goal. So you'll see a little bit of variability given the local goals that they put in their LCAP and what they're striving to in their five-year plan. What I would also say is that you're likely to see some variability in the style, manner, and approach that they use with these presentations. But as Dr. Morse and Ms. DeGenna did, Dr. DeGenna now, prior to Richard, they do go back and forth with the charter directors before the presentations ever get to you to make sure that they're complying with the requirements of the MOU. So with that, I'll turn it over to Richard, and we look forward to the presentation.
Yes, well, good morning, board members. I'll be brief.
Microphone up on the podium.
Oh, yes. Mr. President, one quick comment before Richard gets started.
Yes,
and this is my opportunity to give kudos to Richard in front of this body. I received a request from Contra Costa. One of the board members there is on the CCBE committee with me, and she was just curious how we did our charter reviews and so forth, so I put her in contact with Richard, and Richard promptly gave her probably way more information than she wanted. She was very thankful. I want to say thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. My pleasure to support. So I'm surprised you got that kind of request, because one thing I noticed at these retreats and stuff that we have that we always seem to be a little cut above here, you know, and I'm not saying that to pat anybody on the back here, but it seems like we're sort of leading the charge, so I'm not surprised you have those kind of requests. It's sort of the same thing that came forth when Tiffany gave her presentation. I'm sorry, Richard.
Okay, well, I'm very happy to be here and proud to serve the Ventura County Office of Education, so it's always my pleasure to help out any of my fellow constituents in the state of California struggling with the things I struggled with when I first got on the job here, learning about charter schools. Just briefly, last year we had 3 charter renewals. It was quite a big year for us with the charters. This year we have just 1 charter renewal coming to Ventura Charter School in December. But this month and the subsequent months before that, we know we do have our program ad about it. And tonight, the first one is with this year. I'm just going to imagine.
Good evening. Thank you for having me here tonight. As Richard said, tonight is our kind of our overview of what we've been doing for the last year, and we've been doing some really great stuff, so I'm happy to be here. I'm just going to begin with a general school overview, and I won't read all of our sites, you know them. The ones in red are what has changed for this school year. One of the big changes, we had a resource center, as you may recall, located inside the Boys and Girls Club on 7th Street in Oxnard. And, you know, we always struggled with enrollment there. It's only a couple blocks away from our main Oxnard location, which is kind of the hub. There are about 400 kids at that main Oxnard location. And we were hovering around 30 at the Boys and Girls Club Resource Center. So after, it was a very difficult decision, but looking at resources and staffing and growth this coming year, we did make the difficult decision to pull that resource center out of the Boys and Girls Club. And that was just this month, a couple weeks ago. So those 30 kids were contacted, counseled, brought over to the main resource center on 4th Street in downtown Oxnard. We are continuing our partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. They offer so many great resources for our kids. So we will be renting facilities from them still, since we do offer an athletic conditioning class, and we've partnered with them for guitar club and things of that nature. So we will be continuing that, continuing referring our kids over the program, but we're just pulling that resource center out. The other change, as you may recall, we were here a few months ago asking about additional sites, and we have opened an additional site in downtown Ventura on Santa Clara Street, and it has an art focus to it. We're really excited about it. We just opened last month, so we only have 15 students right now, but we do expect it to grow. And again, it's going to be centered around art. Right now we just have Art 1, but next year I will have a lot more to share. And with the idea, we do have a highly credentialed art teacher there. The idea is, once we're established there, is to bring in local artisans to teach enrichment classes in their area of expertise. So we're really thrilled about that. And then our other site, which is slated to open in about a week or two, is we are renting a facility, a portable, from ACE Charter School County Office. And with that focus being really on career education. So we are right there next to the Career Education Center. We already tap into ROP. And I'm actually meeting with the wonderful Dr. Morse that's been spoken about so much today. I'm meeting with her tomorrow to kind of look at what else we can offer Vista Real students by being right there next to the Career Education Center. And so we're hoping to have additional seats for our students. ROP is so popular and it does serve the entire county, so we're looking at potentially being able to have specific courses and additional seats for our students there. So they would take their core classes with us in that portable building and be able to walk right over to the ROP classes. And this is, we're also partnering with ACE Charter School to give our students the ability to potentially take some architecture, construction, engineering classes through ACE, but still be enrolled with us. So that hasn't started yet, since they're semester-long classes at ACE, and our kids, we're not open yet at Camarillo. So we're looking at probably next semester starting that. We're really excited. Great things on the horizon. Enrollment practices have not changed. We enroll, we're public school, we enroll anyone. We hold orientations 3 times a week, Spanish and English. So if a student is interested, they come on in, make an appointment. They hold attend an orientation meeting with parent, guardian, and student, and then they enroll. We're hovering around between 950, 1,000. And you can see by the percentage is not coming up. Grade 12, I have it in my, is about 65%, and that is based on age. If you look at how many of our students are actually by credits, 12th graders, you're looking at about 15 to 17%. So again, our population are those students who are significantly behind on credits in general. So 11th grade, 22%, since you know the percentage is there. and the rest. Very few ninth graders come straight in to us, so the majority of the students are those 11th and 12th graders.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because this chart actually caught my attention, especially at 65% 12th graders. Mm-hmm. Enrollment 974, so you got about 600 some odd seniors?
Based on age.
Based on age. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious what the plan is to get them graduated.
Well, I'm going to talk about that. We got a new another counselor, Dr. Florence. Just supports, lots of support, lots of encouragement. But yes, we'll get to that. Absolutely, it's no easy feat. And we do have a lot of students who stay past their expected graduation date. And we're more than happy to do that as long as they're graduating. Our enrollment trends have stayed pretty steady over the last few years. You know, our last large resource center that opened was Ventura in 2012, and so, you know, we haven't had huge growth since then. We're hoping this year with the addition of the new Ventura site in Camarillo, maybe we'll see a little bump. But in general, we're staying pretty consistent. Enrollment by ethnicity, you see us in the first columns there. Our significant populations are Hispanic and white. And we do align fairly consistently with Oxnard Union in particular, since that's the majority of our students that we pull from. And now that we're in Simi Valley and Ventura, you can imagine our demographics per site, they vary. 81% of our students are classified as socioeconomically disadvantaged. And that's inside of our Oxnard Resource Center, if you have been there. Our special education population, this is, has stayed pretty consistent as well, as around 8% of our population. And English learners, about 14% of our total enrollment. And just an overview of our staff, the exciting news for this year is I already just blurted out because we did hire on an additional counselor. And so now our counselors are split between, we have one serving our Santa Paula site in Ventura, and then one serving Oxnard, and then CME as needed. And we also hired on an additional attendance technician, which is helping with that retention and that getting the kids in piece. Budgetary information. And student retention is one of our big goals at Vista Real. It's always been something that, in the past in particular, has been a struggle for us. Students who would come and then go back to their traditional school and come back, and kind of a revolving door. And so that's something that we've really been focusing on over the last couple of years, and we've made enormous strides. So our goal for the 14-15 school year was that 450 students would be considered continuously enrolled from that October CBEDS day, that first Wednesday in October, through Smarter Balance for CST testing. And we're at 633 this past year. We'll never be at the levels of a traditional school. That's just not the nature of our program. But 633 for us was pretty great for our kids to be consistently enrolled in our program and getting served in a high school diploma program. So my goal is 600. And that might seem odd to go down from what we were this year, but it is something that I feel like is still a good number for us. And I kind of want to see with this big jump that we had from the previous year, if that's something that we can maintain and be consistent with, which I think it is. Our ADA, with holding on to kids for longer, and providing additional interventions. We do have some students. We claim ADA based on work turned in, credits earned. It's not a seat-based program. So we do have students who are lingering a little longer without turning in work. So our ADA, we have seen with this retention program and policies, our ADA has dropped a little bit. And we're okay with that as long as our students are getting the support they need and we're not giving up on them. We're truly trying everything we can with them to see if this can be a successful program for them. So all the things that we're doing for retention, supporting the new students who are adjusting to independent study, again, interventions. We do have two counselors now, which is huge. We go out and knock on kids' doors if we're not seeing them for a while with our attendance technicians. Our course options are expanding. And I'll talk briefly a little bit later about the extracurricular involvement opportunities, which is something that some of the students miss in our program. And just increased student recognition, awards nights, little stars up on the walls if they earn the credits that they're supposed to earn, things of that nature. our next goal is graduation. We want to graduate our kids. So our 2014-15 goal was a 10% increase in the number of graduates. And I reworked this one a little bit because I don't know how valid of a measure that is, an increase of graduates every year. So I wanted to change it to looking at our graduates, our seniors at the beginning of school year, how many of those students can we graduate by the end of the school year. It just seemed to be a little more valid of a measure of how we're doing. So I'm aiming for 70% of our students considered seniors, and I'm going by credits, not by grade, by their age, because we do have a lot of students who are very far behind. But our goal is for those students who are, within that 60 credits in September, that we can graduate them by June 30th, which is the end of our school year. And so this year we did graduate 126 students. So there's some pictures of our graduation ceremony. We packed the house at the Oxnard Performing Arts Center.
And what, if you don't mind me asking, what percentage
of seniors?
Of seniors was 126 students. What was 126
students? I don't have that off the top of my head. I don't even want to say, because I could be way off, but I could absolutely get back to Richard and get it to you guys, just because I don't.
Because it's your next year goal, or?
Right. It's for this next year. But I don't have a baseline for you, but I can get that for you.
Actually, Richard, I think based on the conversation, it would make more sense to see what percentage of those credited eligible seniors was that, because it's more about the It's more representative.
Right, that's why I don't want to just say a number, because I would have to pull a report on how many kids were within that those credits, and I don't know that off the top of my head for last school year.
Well, I guess I would ask, you came up with 70% as your goal. Is that significantly higher than it is right now?
I would say yes. And we are really focusing on those seniors this year, because yes, we're retaining them, but our even the kids who are on track, are we getting them through in a timely manner? And so I think we're getting closer to the retention goal. I think we've improved greatly. We're proud of that. Now it's absolutely switched the focus now. Keep doing what we're doing, retention. Of course, there's area for improvement, but now let's switch it. Let's get those kids on the right track. And so we really are focusing this year on those identified seniors and pumping them up, meeting with them weekly. We have little senior t-shirts, we're doing senior events, all of that to try to really motivate them to get through. Because it's amazing how many kids are within 10-15 and drop off. And so we're really trying to stay on top of them.
So, I'm sorry, but so if they enter the senior year,
yes,
calendar year, mm-hmm, and they enter within with graduation in reach,
yes,
at that point, you're not seeing them opting somewhere along the way to go back to their...
Some do. They want the prom, and they want the...
Because that's a positive outcome.
It is. No, absolutely. So that's always been our goal, is graduate with someone.
Yeah.
Whether it's with us or going back, we absolutely support that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure. So, again, counselor's role is making sure they're there, advising the students, encouraging the students, and with our format, of course, being one-on-one, it's a huge role of the teacher as well, because they see that student every week, and they're their cheerleader, getting on the phone, seeing that week, calling them, making sure they're getting in. Again, monitoring credit completion, we're pulling reports every month to make sure our students are on track, and if not, figuring out why. Our academic plans, which I've talked about previously, every student comes in at a different place in their education, so making sure we're tailoring their education and their classes and coursework to their goals. And I mentioned senior events and t-shirts. And then we're also starting an alumni program where we're hoping to track our graduates better, because right now it's very difficult to track where they're going and their seeing if they're enrolling in college or in a career. And we are going to be participating in the Clery Panels. I can't think off the top of my head, and I think I wrote it down somewhere, but now I haven't been following that. National Clearinghouse, where the students are tracked, where they're going to college afterwards, where they're going, what they're doing. So we're hoping to get a little better handle on our students after they graduate with us. Oh, and that's just one of our senior walls, the Oxnard site. So every site has a senior wall where a student who gets within 30 credits of graduation, they get their name on a little Viper sticker and get to stick it up on the board and then move it along to graduation. It may seem a little crafty and maybe a little juvenile, but the kids love it.
It also seems to have an air of accountability.
Yeah. And it's a physical, you know, they go out there physically and move their little Viper along until they finish. Next goal, academic achievement. So the last couple of years, our goal has been a little wishy-washy since we've had no data with testing. And so our goal was really just the implementation of the Common Core curriculum and the successful administration of the CASP. And we did have a very successful administration of the CASP. We had laptops everywhere, and it's difficult oftentimes to get our students in for additional appointments or additional testing. But the students, you know, we, again, kind of the on the phone, flyers home, contacting any way we can, and we got about 90% of our students in to test. And scheduling, of course, is difficult with our format as well. We're not, our facilities don't hold all 1,000 of our kids at once. So we just have to be imaginative, and we did get, and it wasn't all 1,000 kids, of course, because not all grades tested, but we got a lot of them in, and the students were engaged, finished it, and we did well. And the revisions for our Common Core curriculum are underway, so we rolled out our initial curriculum. We're seeing, of course, with any kind of new curriculum that revisions need to be made, and especially in an independent study format with Common Core, it's challenging. So we're tweaking it as we go, and we're making it better.
Did your school attend the Common Core training that went on here at the Office of Education?
Yes, some of us did, yeah. We always tap into what you guys do.
Did you find it useful, helpful? Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's just one of the classroom activities that we had to do for Smarter Balance. So all the students had laptops in front of them, and we had little goodie bags to bribe them to get there. And then one of the classroom activities was about a zip line, so we were demonstrating a zip line. Kind of hard to see in the picture. So our results, you know, this is a baseline year. We don't really know what to look for, what to base it on. There's clearly we need improvement. We can say that much. I did compare our results with other ASAM schools in the county, and we did well. It's kind of unfortunate because our results, again, there's definite room for improvement. But there's our ELA and our math is, you know, we have a long way to go. KC overview, we've stayed pretty consistent with our scores with KC, and now with KC kind of defunct for now. This may be the last time you see that for a while. So for academic achievement, I've mentioned our revisions for our curriculum. We have a lot of on-site monthly department meetings, different PDs on that Common Core curriculum, and how to make sure the students are making those connections independently. We are transitioning from our internal assessment, which was Let's Go Learn for the last couple of years, and we are transitioning to NWEA, which is a much more established national program. So these are the assessments that we assess students in reading and math as they enroll with us to see where their levels are at and what support classes they need. So we're transitioning, we're right in the midst of transitioning to that. We have our EDGE curriculum for English learners, and Read 180 and Success Now Math are for our students who are struggling in math and reading, and those are small group courses taught by credentialed teachers. Study skill classes, you know, a lot of our kids just don't even know how to schedule themselves and to do homework independently, or you know, how to ask for help. So we're holding study skills classes, and of course we have free tutoring as well at all of our sites. And then our final goal that I will talk about is our student parent satisfaction. And our goal was to add additional high interest course options. That's kind of the number one thing that we hear on our surveys for parents and students, is to get more fun classes. You know, a lot of our classes, especially when we first started, were all remedial for elective credits. So we're working hard on getting those electives to not only be remedial, of course we have those for students who need it, and then also add some things that are high interest to the students. And then this year, really our focus, and with our school in general, we do want to go in the direction of career education. So we have our surveys that we distribute every year, and we always have pretty great feedback from the parents and students. So that's the students. guitar, athletic conditioning, art we've added. And then we do have a lot of online blended learning courses, which the students are surprisingly, they shy away from. We kind of have to promote it a lot. We have student committees at each resource center, which kind of, you know, sometimes there's participation, sometimes there's not. We have a really great thing called a Girls Empowerment Club, Girls Empowerment Workshop, and it's a 10-week cohort of girls that go through it. And it's to build confidence in the girls. About 10 to 12 girls have participated twice now in 10-week cohorts. And it goes anywhere from, we have business women coming in speaking 1 week about women in the business field, and we talk about, you know, being self-advocating, being independent, knowing your boundaries, setting your boundaries, and not being afraid to speak up. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And we will be transitioning to a elective course. Right now, it's just the girls go, just because it's wonderful. We do have clubs as well. We have a pottery club in Santa Paula. We have a fantasy football club in Ventura, which people laugh at, but it's actually math and strategy. And so we're just expanding kind of those extracurricular kind of things that some of those kids miss. We did a field trip to the Channel Islands with Nature Bridge this year, and it was fabulous. That's a picture of our kids and a couple of our staff members, and they stayed overnight for a couple nights. And, you know, a lot of these kids who have been born and raised here have never even been on a boat or really been in the water or anything, so it was great. And again, awards nights, incentives for credit completion, just keeping it positive and proactive. Have some comments from our students. And parents, similar results. And, you know, we're still looking to improve parent participation in our parent meetings, and but we do frequently communicate, and we've required conferences twice a year now, and we have extremely good turnout on those. So that's when we get those parents in, and we can really tap into their brains and get their feedback then, and of course have a good in-depth conversation about how their child's doing in school.
Any questions?
I have one question about your school overview financials.
Yes.
So
I'll do my best.
It looks like the reserve / deficit really changed quite a bit. And so that was question one. Two, do you have an internal... A lot of the charter schools use the business services.
Yeah.
And
ours is not through business services. Ours is through the Learn for Life, which is kind of our larger organization based in Lancaster.
Uh-huh.
But yes, we have a finance department. That's why I don't know how in depth I can go in the details on the financials. I can say this past year we have had, with additional sites opening this year, there's been that. Additional staffing that we've hired with the counselors and the attendance clerks, and I don't think I touched on, we have community liaisons now, which is also a position, a certificated position of just outreach into the community. So a lot of staffing hires, a lot of Common Core curriculum stuff, all of that instructional materials as well.
Yeah. And are you nervous getting down to...
No, you know, that's the, just for this... current year, there's a reserve rolled over also that's quite large.
Oh, okay, because that's not included,
yes,
in this
that's not
year.
Included
so
in
it looks like you only have 90,000.
And we have more than that rolled over.
In reserve.
Yes,
so
in reserve.
That, that would be a concern for us.
Yes, yes.
So that the whole picture is,
and I can
probably
get that to you too.
That's just your annuals.
That's our annuals, yes.
Right.
The other question I had was with regards to under student satisfaction, you have blended learning and CTE courses. Are those all online courses, or are those in-house, or
So it's blended because it's not fully online. The curriculum, they take the test still with the teacher on site there, and they do turn in homework samples to the teacher there, but the curriculum itself, there's no textbook, it is online. So it's a little blended. The CTE courses, it is a lot of what our blended or online program is based of CTE courses, but it's also, we have some computer technology courses that we've incorporated as well. Those not online based. It's actually sitting down with a teacher, and I mean, there's computer work, obviously. But we are going in that direction with more additional career education, career CTE courses.
And a lot of our students need that. And so partnering with the county would
yes.
somewhat replace some of these courses or add to?
It would add to. They're different. The county program is so much richer and more robust than what we could offer on our own. Mm-hmm. So it would add to it.
Yeah. And just one last comment is, last semester, I believe, I had a graduate of Vista Real in my intro to kinesiology, and he was 17 years old.
Hey,
so
there
he
you
had
go.
Graduated ahead of
we
time.
We get those every once in a while, and it's amazing.
So, you know, they're not all credit deficient.
They are not.
Graduating from Vista
Real. No, some of the kids just want to get in, and some of it's okay. bullying. Some of they don't want to deal with the social stuff. Yeah. Thank you.
I would just make two comments. One is some of the financial information you're asking about the support services. I'm read very closely all the outcaps for our charter schools. I'm going to be meeting with all the directors here shortly to review, to drill down a little bit on their outcaps. And they receive concentration supplemental grants to support the populations that need the additional services. So we're going to be having a conversation about that. Some of it's obvious to me based on what I see and what I know about the schools, but other parts aren't. So I want to know that a little bit better. So I will be looking at that more carefully. And second of all, the blended learning and the CEC, it's kind of the scaffold approach, because many of the kids aren't able to attend CEC courses due to their schedule. Some are parents, some are working. So we're hoping to get as many into CEC as possible, but it's more of a scaffold approach where the kids that don't have the time still have some setting where they can get exposure to CTE courses.
Richard, do you have any concerns about Vista Real going into the future at all?
I don't have any concerns about Vista Real. Having been a boot on the ground at Oxford High School for 4 years as an assistant principal, I met with every kid that left our school, whether it was with Vista Real or some other city, to discuss the reasons why. And, you know, many kids don't want to be at a school site. Many kids don't want to take the Oxford Union model of independent study. They want an alternative. And Vista Real, for them, is that alternative. There aren't very many schools, I can probably count them on two fingers, that will take a kid, come from Oxford High School, that's 17 years old with 50 credits, you know, 140, 150 credits behind. There's not many schools that want to work with that kid. Vista Real is the primary one in our county. So they come and said they're going to play this role, and they're playing that role, and they're in that lane, and they're trying to do the best job they can of serving students in that lane. So I'm pretty happy with what they're doing.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. I mean, we talk a lot about transparency and whatnot. I just wanted to share with the board. I literally was in that part of town about a month or two ago. I just finished having lunch. I was right across the street from Mr. Rell, unannounced, popped in, saw the students all engaged. I mean, this man would have taken me all over the place if I didn't. So I had to get that guy's name and say hello. So again, I appreciate your comments.
Sure. We love it when people stop in because it's hard to kind of grasp what we do. So when people actually come and see what we do, they're oftentimes surprised that all the kids are sitting there engaged and working and getting support from teachers and tutors. So.
Oh, I enjoyed speaking with my student because he chose to go there.
Yeah,
that was quite interesting. He was a bright kid.
A comment by my Mr. Kinnicky, just real briefly I wanted to share. I appreciate a couple things that are happening right now, and I wanted to just briefly share how excited we are at VCOE to enter into the partnership with not just Vista Real, but also with River Oaks and ACE, and we're really trying to expand our footprint in the offering of CTE courses, especially for students in alternative ed settings. Those are the students who can benefit greatly from an industry certification, an internship, a pathway completion. So we're really working hard to expand that, and it's really rewarding to see some of the charter schools in our area actually taking us up on that offer and coming in and having their kids take advantage of the rich offerings that we have. I also wanted to share how much I appreciate the fact that they're trying to look thoughtfully at the metrics that they're using to judge their success. Mr. Mantooth will know that I'm sitting on a Student Services and Programs Committee that's looking at an alternative accountability model that's trying to make sense of what a meaningful accountability system will look like for alternative schools, to include CORB schools, community schools, continuation high schools, and the former ASM charter schools. And things like the one-year graduation rate, like you mentioned earlier, where you start with kids at 160 because that 60 more gets you to that 220, that's already in the draft model that we have and that we are looking at proposing moving forward to the SESSA Executive Committee and then maybe beyond to CDE pretty soon. But we've gone through several drafts of this model, and it incorporates some of the things that Corinne talked about, one being the one-year graduation rate, but another being industry certification, completed internship, skills-based certification, those kinds of things that, that as Mark said earlier, that's really a positive outcome, including returning the student to district on track to graduate. That is something that if a Gateway student wanted to do, we would think highly on that. We would say, we got them turned around, we got the credits back in line, and now they're going back to graduate with their peers. Job well done, go back, you know, and wish them well. So what Corinne talked about is very consistent with what we're trying to do at the state level with accountability model for alternative education settings. We'll see where it goes, but.
Mr. President, just a question. Mm-hmm. Students come to you for all kinds of reasons. And yet I was curious, and I might have missed it in your presentation, what is the gender mix, male, female?
It's actually pretty evenly split. Yeah.
Okay. I have one question. I was wondering just generally, you know, if districts are struggling with matching the LCAP with the budget, with the dollars, and I'm wondering how it would seem to me that it would be especially challenging in the schools that are, you know, outliers.
Well, in a lot of ways, I think it's a little bit easier. They're dealing with smaller student populations, mm-hmm. Fewer numbers of students that are bringing in those concentration supplemental grant monies. So they're able to actually target a little bit more specifically, and the programs they're able to offer are a little bit more personalized. They don't have, you know, 300 or 400 EL students where they got to figure out how do I get 400 EL students this help. They maybe have 20. And so in 20, it's a much easier from facilities and logistics and parent contacts and all things that go along with it to get some things done. So they've actually got, you know, some really good plans. They're able to focus. We have one charter school, but they have three EL kids. I'm like, well, they're great. That's a problem we can solve. I mean, you know, it's a lot of hindrance. That's actually a really realistic set of kids that we can meet personally and deal with. So I think they're all well on their way to some good stuff.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you.
Thank you. Success.
I'm going to move on to item L3, SELPA Local Plan Approval Information Action Item. Mr. Mantooth.
Yes, and we have with us our Assistant Superintendent of the SELPA, Ms. Mary Samples, tonight, who I didn't know whether you had been in the gym and were strong enough to actually bring the plan. And
it's actually over there on the table. It is one of the more robust plans in the state. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it is. It is what it is. Thank you for having me here tonight, and of course I'm here to recommend that you approve the local plan. I want to give a little bit of background on the local plan. When SELPAs were formed in the 1980s, one of the responsibilities of the SELPA was to write a local plan that would be pretty much written with all of the member districts and with parent input. And so that happened. And then generally what was happening is when IDEA was reauthorized, which was really supposed to happen every 4 to 6 years,
there would be an updated plan written, and every time that happens, every governing board of every member district and of course the county office needed to approve that. And so that kind of happened for the first few years, and now we are kind of at a stalemate because IDEA never gets reauthorized until after ESEA gets reauthorized, and the last time IDEA was reauthorized was 2004. And in 2004, they didn't even require a local plan rewrite. They just had some assurances that changed, and they asked us to take those to the governing board. So a couple years ago, as we started looking through things, we said this is really not a good thing because our local plan really does not reflect all the new laws, all the new regulations, all the changes, the fact that autism has skyrocketed by 4,580%. And so there were all kinds of things that we looked at and said, you know what, it's just time to do a major rewrite. In the past, we'd done some, you know, replace, and that time. This time we did a complete rewrite. Took 2 years. We had many parents on the committee, obviously professionals, directors. And then we also, because our local plan includes many memorandums of understanding with our agencies throughout the county, we update our memorandums of understanding. So in the end, we ended up with about a 500-page document. And Dean, I'm really proud of you that you went. I don't have to give a test now because I know you went on the website. We are in the process. If you've seen VCOE's wonderful new website, we're sort of sliding in and we're also redoing ours. And the reason we have a separate website is because of the amount of material that is included on our website. And so there will be links from VCOE directly to our website. So we're in the process of doing that now that VCOE has done theirs and shown us all of the things we need to do in order to get to that place. So at this point, we've had 14 districts of our 20 districts approve the local plan and the boards. And we have a couple more this week, and I think our last one is October 6th. So the plan is big. It has 11 sections. Basically, what it tells, it tells the story of how we do business in this county in the area of special ed, and outlines the governance, outlines early education, outlines the behavior programs we use, and pretty much is kind of the sort of the Bible that we can go by and all of our districts can go by in supporting our special ed students. And the reason, like I said, it is one of the more robust in the state. I have several colleagues that have 40-page local plans, but we kind of feel the more, in this case, more is better. It not only outlines for our staff and for our school districts, but it also is there for parents. It's on the website. Parents can look up, request, ask, and in fact, one of the reasons we have so many parents on our committee is because as we go through the writing, they'll say, that doesn't make sense to me, what does that mean? And so it helps us to make sure that it's community parent friendly. So it's there. I hope you had a chance to look at it, some of it or all of it. I'm recommending your approval tonight, and I'll take any questions.
I will say it is a great tool for parents. Just some things that you can't find the answer to. You have to search a bit because of the volume, but it's there.
Well, one of the things we're hoping to do with the new website is make it even easier. Many of the parents, we do get lots of parent contacts every week, and one of the things we can do is not only counsel them, because we consider ourselves as a neutral third party. We can not only counsel them, but we can direct them to the parts that they can look at, or if they have a family member that wants to look at it with them, we can direct them there. So our hope is that we can make it even easier for people to access.
One thing you might want to talk to our IKEA people about, they do this in CME, is you reach your reports over there and it starts citing a certain section. Immediately right there, they have a link. You can click right in, bypass everything, and go right to that spot.
That's a great idea. We were thinking about keywords, but we'll do something that hopefully will make it easier to go through. So.
Great work. Any other
other question?
I just, in kind of flipping through there, it was nice for it to be so detailed as special needs and parents and school districts can get quite contentious.
That is true.
And it's a nice tool to at least, you know, have everyone understand where we're starting off so before heated
A good story is every year the California Department of Education chooses districts that they do what they call a verification review or a comprehensive review. And last year, Simi Valley was the winner of that prize. And so we had five individuals from the California Department of Ed come to Simi with us for 5 days and go through things. And what was wonderful is they let us use our new plan, and they were very complimentary as to the fact that we had everything in there that we needed to have. So that was a good thing, and we have another winner this year. It looks like Oxnard Union is going to be getting a visit. So hopefully it will do them just the same amount of it will be just the same amount of help as they had in seeing with our local plan, helping as we go through the items.
Do you think they base that at all on lawsuits or complaints?
They actually say that they, I think they base it on the fact they want to come to Ventura County, but other than, they do have a metric that they use, and they do compliance items, they do complaints, they do legal issues, and then they have a little scoring rubric, and if you're in that, you win. Although, I will say that they're doing more than they ever have because the state of California, the California Department of Ed is involved in many lawsuits, but two big special ed lawsuits, which are class action and are contending that they have not provided enough oversight to the district. So they're doing double or triple what they used to do.
I started to wonder if you guys had a legal team in your department.
No, we don't. But there are plenty of attorneys that work in this county.
Any other questions, Amanda? That's great. As always, thank you. An excellent job.
Okay, thank you so much. I just need a vote, and
I will vote to approve.
So, first by Ms. Oliver.
Second.
Second by Dr. Isikor. We'll do a voice call vote on this. Ms. Rachel?
Aye.
Ms. Oliver?
Aye.
4-0. Passes. No abstentions.
Thank you. And the next step will be after all of the board approve, then we will take all of the approval documents that the board signed, that the superintendent sign, and we will take the local plan and we will give it to CDE, and they have a year to review it. But while they do, we are able to go forth and do what is included in the plan.
Great work.
I'm
sure
we'll
get approved. Thank you. Thank you.
Compliments
to all of them. Thank you, Mary. Okay, we're going to move on to item L4, approval of resolution 1506, application for state grant funding beyond state bond authority. This is an information action item. Mr. Manfield?
Yes. Normally this would fall within Mrs. Key's realm, but I'll do my best to handle it this evening.
You want to table this? Do we have an expert here?
No.
Okay.
I used to dabble in this realm myself. But as you're no doubt aware, county offices of education are not eligible in the state school building program for things like developer fees, passing general obligation bonds, and things like that, which help fund a match. And so we applied for funds to renovate our facilities under what we call a hardship provision. And Entropy will always be with us, and certainly is in terms of our facilities. And we have brought additional items to the board before regarding some of our sites where we wanted to get in line for state funding under the building program, should those funds become available. We're a little more hopeful of late because I understand that there have been enough signatures now collected to put a ballot measure on for 2016, which would make money available, and we would be in the queue for that. We are already in the queue for several projects, most notably a new facility next door, on the property that we own. This is just taking out some more proactive insurance so that we can do some more good work at the Triggs Caneo facility in the East County, should the money become available. And we're asking that the board approve the resolution to that effect.
Questions? Somebody like to make a motion?
Seeing no downside, I will make a motion to approve this resolution 15-06.
First by Ms. Sauer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Flores. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 4-0. Passes.
Get that money. All right, moving on to item M, board member comments. Ms. Ulrich?
I have no comments.
Dr. Flores?
None.
Mr. Osigar?
I have none either.
Mr. President?
Yes, please.
I would ask the board's indulgence to revisit my superintendent's report. It's my second remission of the evening. The California County Superintendents Association has five steering committees that really do the heavy lifting for the 58 county superintendents in five disciplines: personnel, business, curriculum instruction, student programs, and technology. Roger Rice last year was the chair of the student programs steering committee. This year, Dr. Valerie Christman is the chair of the Curriculum Instruction Steering Committee.
But my home court.
Next year, Ms. Dickey will be the chair of the Business Administration Steering Committee. But more importantly, so we're getting a lock on...
I was going to say, after 3 years, I expect a lot, guys.
And one of the things that I want to share with you, because it will occur before the next board meeting, is at the October quarterly meeting of the County Superintendents Association, both Roger and Valerie will be honored with what is called the Star Award for the preeminent person and their contribution to their steering committee. And that's a statewide honor. And I just want to recognize them
well
for that.
Well deserved. Thank you. Thank you. Bring it in and show it to us?
Sure. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board member comments?
Congratulations.
Yeah, John. I only have one comment I'd like to make before I go on the future agenda items, and it's just I'd like to close the meeting tonight in honor of my wife, and because she celebrated 48 years of being married to this this guy on Saturday. So that's a milestone for anybody. The compliments to my wife. Any other future agenda items outside of what we already have on our list that anybody requests? No, seeing none, we'll go future meetings. As you know, we got a meeting on Monday, October 26th, and one scheduled for Monday, November 23rd. I understand that they're just basic regular meetings with this one potential that we move forward tonight. So with that, we'll close the hearing at 7:24. Thank you very much.
Thank you.